This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me today, we've got Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000. Also check him out, part of Busted Open Radio on Sundays from 9 until noon on Sirius XM. Again, 9 to noon is Eastern Time. Have a lot of things to dive into as we get closer to pay-per-views, both for WWE and AEW, but we're coming off of what I think has to be deemed a fairly successful show for AEW in Australia, as they just came off of Grand Slam on Saturday night following the All-Star festivities. Fill in the blank to start the show, Jay Hood. AEW Grand Slam was
thrilling for AEW. It was thrilling because, Gabe, it's a shot in the arm that AEW needed. I think that their crowds on Dynamite and Collision have been really good as of late, meaning that they're involved, invested. They know as soon as the music hits, they know exactly what wrestler's coming out. But I just think that, like anything else in wrestling, when you go overseas, it's a whole different vibe and environment. And I just thought that just being in Australia really helped in a big way, along with some really solid matches. Okay, maybe I didn't get all of the predictions right, but the point is, though, is I thought that Grand Slam coming off of the All-Star game actually kept me awake until midnight. So it was interesting. It could have been a slog, but you know what? They entertained me.
No, they did. I mean, they jammed a lot, I think, into that show, and a lot of really good action in that show. Even though, again, there was confusion when it was announced. Okay, is it a pay-per-view? Is it not? They had a bigger venue booked, then they end up in the smaller venue. I mean, I think it all worked out in the end for AEW. It ends up doing, you know, good number rating-wise, which is something they care about. I don't necessarily care about it, but they end up doing that, so their partners are happy, they're happy, and the action was good. Like, there wasn't, I mean, a ton of downtime. There was some, you know, for promos and whatnot, but they almost treated it kind of like a pay-per-view, you know, where it's, okay, you know, we're trying to wrap up some storylines, continue others, but we're telling a lot of that with the action that's happening in the ring, and they were able to get a lot of the Australian wrestlers they have on the roster on the card. And while it wasn't, you know, until the end that one of them actually went over when, you know, Timeless Toni Storm with her small package was able to pin Mariah May, you know, was it a great night for Buddy? Was it a great night for Kyle Fletcher? But I think it was a great night overall. The crowd, like you said, was super into it. And, you know, the crowd also booing Kyle Fletcher, I thought was awesome. Like, recognizing, hey, even though he's one of us, he's a heel. He's acting like a heel. We're rooting for Kenny. We're rooting for Will Ospreay. And I mean, the moment of the night probably came for Cope, when the entire arena is just singing his song to him. Like, it's amazing how much the crowds can make or break these events, right? Like, even though you have this great action going on, or maybe if you tell a great story, if the crowd doesn't buy into it and you don't get those reactions from the crowd, like, that's what made it. Because I thought it was great action. I thought it was a great 2 hours for a wrestling TV show, but the crowd just took it over the top to that next level.
It also gets away from the negativity just for a trip, for as long as it took for them to get to Australia.
So, some people tried to still bring negativity into online.
But I mean, but at least from a crowd standpoint, Gabe, you got a lot of people that were appreciating exactly what AEW brought to the table, you know, if nothing else. So, I mean, I think that's the positive. I think, you know, even for someone like Harley Cameron, who was like, boy, you know, you go with the hot hand in that spot, like, you know, take a look at some of these other Japanese women or some of the other wrestlers there in that company. Harley Cameron versus those, I think Harley Cameron deserved to, at least for a night, be champion in front of that crowd. It did not happen. But just the idea that the crowd was behind Harley Cameron, it's the best match we've ever seen her in. And so yeah. I just, you know, I think for AEW, I think they're going in the on the upswing based on the reactions that they're getting. And I don't know if you've noticed it too, but it just seems like the Dynamites lately have a little bit more of an understanding and a path of exactly where they're going. More promos than the wrestling, the balance of wrestling and promos. And I just think it's been a good blend. I'd say over, what, 6 to 8 weeks? Maybe 6 weeks?
Yeah. Maybe not quite 2 months, right around there. I think they're off to a really good 2025. Yeah. Like, the start of 2025, I think, has been really good for them. Again, it's funny because their weakest thing is still probably the world championship scene with mm-hmm. the Death Riders. But like I said, that storyline provided you with the moment with Adam Copeland being serenaded with his own song, Like that still provided a tremendous moment on Saturday night. I don't know if Cope ultimately goes over Mox when they go head to head at Revolution here in a couple of weeks, but I kind of hope it does. I think that the Death Riders just need to go away, hit the reboot, and come back as something else. Because whenever Mox comes back, it will be a big pop. Whenever, you know, assuming Pac and, you know, Claudio and Wheeler eventually drop the championships, the trios titles, like they're all really talented wrestlers, and I think you can find a different direction for that. But like you said, it feels like everything has a better direction. Like we've even, thank goodness, I think we've moved on from MJF on, you know, taking on, you know, the elders of AEW, and it looks like we're going to have a hell of a match between him and Hangman Adam Page. Like it seems like they're really building towards, in a couple of weeks here on Revolution, they're going to have one hell of a pay-per-view, which is, again, the thing that they are probably most known for is those pay-per-views.
You know what, Gabe, I discovered, and I think the breadcrumbs have been just laid out, but I think that the biggest slice of that bread from the breadcrumbs was evident in Phoenix on Wednesday, and that is I feel like AEW is going to go with Hangman Page over Moxley. That was my feeling watching Dynamite yesterday. Because,
oh, you mean Cope? Cope?
No, I mean Hangman Page.
Like, saying he retains, and then at Double or Nothing when they go back to Arizona, that's we see Hangman Adam Page go over Mox.
Yeah, I think that well, first of all, since we're talking about Cope, you know I'm a big Adam Copeland fan from his day when WWE wasn't so cool, Edge was cool. He's there in bed with Lita and he's having these matches. It's like, hey,
it's still such a wild idea that they promoted live sex on television is what they promoted.
Live sex show, but not really. but not really.
Yeah.
But when wrestling wasn't so cool, I thought Edge was cool. So I'm always going to have a place in my wrestling heart for Adam Copeland. I think that the booking was wrong on that matchup. You want to leave people with a smile rather than to be unhappy. For Cope to have to pass out to Mox, that's usually the other way historically, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is the person challenging for the championship winning and then somehow gets screwed in the biggest event. They did it the opposite way, where Cope is down and out, could not respond. The Death Riders win the tag team match. It's like, wait a minute now. So I'm walking out of the arena thinking, well, maybe Cope can't be able to get past the Death Riders, can't get past Jon Moxley. I just thought the booking of that was as backwards because we usually don't get it that way.
Yeah, I guess unless you're going to have Cope go over,
I really believe that, but based on what we saw from Adam Page, that back and forth between him and MJF, it just seems like all of a sudden out of nowhere, Page is like the heartbeat of AEW. You saw that promo. It was.
Oh, yeah. I thought the promo was fantastic. And again, showing babyface tendencies after literally retiring, you know, fallen angel Christopher Daniels, like standing up and defending Christopher Daniels to the point where Daniels came out and said, yep, that's the guy. This is the guy I want to see because this is the guy I know you can be to Hangman Adam Page. And look, there have been a couple of different times where Page has had those runs, right? Where Page has just been, you know, where he's been incredibly over. He burned down a man's house not that long ago, and he's just a baby face. Like he burned down the childhood home of Swerve Strickland, and now he's still a baby face. Like he was kind of a baby face when that happened. It was the whole thing is people just love Hangman Adam Page.
But out of all of this, though, I think that AEW is going in the right direction. I ignore a lot of the stuff that's on social media. Like, look, there's clearly this divide between WWE and AEW fans, and so that's fine. Let them have that. I'll just enjoy what I like about AEW. Mm-hmm. I'll ignore what I don't like about AEW, or I vent to you and Brian about what I don't like about AEW, and then we keep it moving. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, it is. I just think that, you know, I thought it was a thriller. Especially coming off the All-Star game, right? We're watching the All-Star Saturday, and it's like, okay, this is a dud. All right, now we've got Ospreay and we've got Omega against Takeshita and Fletcher. That was a banger.
You mentioned, before we move on, you mentioned Harley Cameron. I think sooner rather than later, she is going to be a champion in AEW. I firmly believe that. Maybe this was too soon because she's literally won one match before she got this match with Mercedes, and Mercedes is moving on quickly. But I firmly believe that she is going to be a champion within AEW within 2025.
Would have been nice for a little quick roll up, but I knew she wasn't winning when I saw that she was second on the card. I'm like, well, that's not happening. Oh, well.
Well, again, because they were putting over Timeless Toni Storm at the end, who had a hell of a promo last night as well, by the way. Just a tremendous promo from Timeless Toni Storm after she won the world championship. But we move on. We've got some other things we do want to talk about in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count, the other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. We move on to the Elimination Chamber, which is happening a week from Saturday, March 1st in Toronto. Who do you think the favorites are in the Elimination Chamber? Just as a refresher, on the men's side, we have John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins. On the women's side, it's Liv versus Bianca versus Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Naomi, and then Roxanne Perez getting her spot with her match on Monday Night Raw. Let's start with the men's side. Who do you believe is the favorite on the men's side?
I just think to keep things going with Punk, as far as the favor he's owed by Paul Heyman / Roman Reigns, I feel like CM Punk is one of the favorites, to the point where we put it in Vegas, Gabe Neitzel, we wouldn't make any money. It would be a would that be a 1-3 shot or one for five shot? Like, we wouldn't make any cash off of that one.
So I still feel like somehow Cena is the favorite, even though I think Punk makes the most sense here. And I think you can also, while building other matches, get Punk over here, because I think you can pay off the favor if you do it in a way where maybe the last three are Punk, Rollins, and Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roman Reigns takes out Rollins. And that continues their blood feud, and they can have a blood feud going into Mania, right? Because that makes sense. That you can make that make all the sense in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then Punk still ends up going over Cena. Cena's a question mark heading into Mania. You can figure something out for him. But then the favor has been paid off, where, you know, Roman Reigns went in to help CM Punk in a way with, you know, Paul Heyman pulling the strings that got CM Punk into the main event of WrestleMania against Cody Rhodes. That's a story I can get behind.
I can go with that. I'm just trying to figure out Cena. If Cena wins, are we looking at Cena Cody?
I mean, it has to be.
I mean,
it has to be. Do I want that? I don't want that. I don't need to see that.
Like, eventually we're going to see that. I don't think we'll see it at WrestleMania.
Well, honestly, if Punk's wrestling Cody, I think Punk's going over at Mania.
Well, he should, and that's going to be the case as soon as Elimination Chamber is over. Let's heat this thing up, buddy. WrestleMania is right around the corner. I'm looking at my watch.
Yeah, well,
let's go.
And that's the thing. Like, well, and again, then if you want Cena to eventually challenge, like, Cena Punk all this time later, yeah, sign me up for that. I think you can make that interesting, because Punk is going to be really good at kind of, you know, even though he's going to be getting some babyface reactions, I think him and Cena can both kind of toe the line of, you know, cutting some pretty good promos against one another. They've shown that they can do that in the past, you know, where, you know, you think about when Punk first won the WWE Championship in Chicago at Money in the Bank, like, Punk was getting the babyface reaction, and Cena, even though he's the babyface, they figured that out. So I think they could do that dance again. But I still have just a sinking feeling that John Cena is going to win this thing. And that's just not a story I'm very interested in. Cena versus Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. I'm just not.
Gabe, that's why they've made Saudi Arabia shows.
You know, right?
You want to bury that? You want to have that match in Saudi Arabia? I'm sure that's going to be a banger, by the way. It's great. Cena ends up losing. But the whole thing is, like, I don't need that on one of the major PLEs for me.
Yes.
For me. I don't have that nostalgia feel for Cena like everyone else, because I feel like we've seen so much of Cena. When he did leave and come back, it's like, oh, it's good to see him. But it wasn't like me saying, oh my God, Cena's back. Even Cena knows, well, like, this is the end.
Because he's come back and he's wrestled a match like every calendar year. Like, he never went fully away the way that we've seen with Rock, CM Punk, you know, some of these other guys that left and came back. Like, there was still a John Cena presence. It wasn't very often, but he let it be known and he was around enough. I guess I don't care if he wins a 17th championship. That's not something that's super important to me. I just want to see them use Cena to tell important stories. And I don't know what his schedule is like, is the problem right now. It seems like in the front part of this year, he's busy, which is fine. He's chosen this career path. He wants to have this goodbye tour. And as important as he's been to the history of WWE, I get it. Look, I understand. But if he's not really going to be around for the build to WrestleMania with Cody, that doesn't really do it for me either. Like, I honestly don't know. Maybe he can be around for a build to a WrestleMania program. I'm not sure. I just don't know right now because they haven't really been clear about how they're using his dates, other than we know he's going to be at the Chamber. We assume he's going to be at Mania, and he's making three European tour dates that they announced this week as well. But other than that, I don't know how much Ron Cena is going to be around for this build.
What's that promo look like, by the way, when Cena does not get it done in Elimination Chamber? Because you had the Royal Rumble to try to get this done, Elimination Chamber. So there's going to be a microphone, and he's going to be standing there saying, well, I didn't get it done these other two places. How else can I be able to win the World Championship? And he's going to try to find a way into some kind of qualified match to get in that, get that world title match at some point.
Honestly, if we're – there have been rumors floating around. So Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest has been the rumored, match for WrestleMania.
Okay.
And there have been apparently some second thoughts about that. Like, is that a direction we really want to go? It was a very unceremonious elimination at the Royal Rumble. So that didn't really kick it off, I think, the way that they wanted to. What if it's Cena, Drew McIntyre? What if Cena comes out and he's like, man, I am just down. I can't figure this out. I haven't been able to win these matches. It's been forever since I've won. And Drew McIntyre comes out and goes, yep, and I'm going to bury you. I'm going to be the last one. I am going to beat your ass so bad at WrestleMania, this retirement tour isn't even going to get kicked off.
Yes. When I was the chosen one under Vince, you buried me, blah, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And then when I was clean shaven, with no mustache yep. and no mm-hmm. and no beard, yeah. you try to bury me, and then I had to leave and then come back because of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I think you can do something there.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know where it leaves Damian Priest necessarily, but like I would get behind Cena versus Drew McIntyre more than Cena versus Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I get it. What about the women's side?
The women's side is wide open because we know the champion on the other side waiting for you is
Charlotte on one side.
Charlotte. Tiffy. Yep. So you have Charlotte, Tiffy, and then you've got Rhea Ripley waiting for you, whoever wins here.
Yes. So you want Rhea, Bianca? Do you need that right now?
I don't need it right now, but I mean, if you give it to me, am I going to enjoy the hell out of it? Yeah. Because it's one that we've been waiting for so long. But I feel like there's still something that needs to happen because they started teasing the return of Jade. And it feels like her and Naomi have to be attached to whatever the conclusion is of who attacked Jade and took her out, right? Mm-hmm. It just feels like they have to be attached to that, because especially since Naomi took her spot. Like we've already seen Liv Morgan, so I don't need Liv Morgan to be there. Is this Alexa Bliss?
Alexa Bliss against Rhea Ripley?
Yeah. No. Or do you strap the rocket to Roxanne Perez and see if she can elevate her game coming off the NXT roster to a pretty big spot at WrestleMania?
So Roxanne Perez is good, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like,
is she good? I don't know. I mean,
She's really good, but the problem is like you are throwing her in the deepest of deep ends, because correct. Yeah, you know, like as good as she has been, she has not been in a major program like she would have to be in, right? There's a lot. There's no easing your way into that. Like you're going to be in a pretty marquee WrestleMania event. I just can't see it because you have to introduce her to the crowd way too quickly.
I was going to say, Bianca said on Good Karma Wrestling that she would be interested in a matchup against Rhea.
Yeah, like, I think Bianca makes the most sense if it wasn't for them already reintroducing the Jade Cargill stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to see kind of like some shadowy footage of Raquel and Liv walking away from the scene of the crime. I need to do some more research on what's really going on there. Is there something going on? Is there an issue between Bianca and Jade as a shoot? I think there is an issue, and I don't know what it is. I need to figure out what that is.
I've read rumblings of that as well. I can't remember where that, but that was around the time she was injured, that even though they were tag team champs, they didn't necessarily see eye to eye.
Oh my God, we're going back to Tony Atlas, Rocky Johnson again. Two people don't get along and they're champions. That's not going to work. Interesting.
But in terms of the women's, yeah, I think if I'm power ranking the thing that interests me the most, I would say Bianca one, probably Alexa Bliss two, Bayley three, because Bayley's just that champion that you have where she's almost like the Randy Orton of the women's division. And what I mean by this, like Randy, you can always heat him up to be a champion, right? Like, oh, we need someone to challenge. Okay, let's heat up Randy Orton real quick. And then every once in a while he's champion, right? Like he goes over and wins the championship. Like Bayley's that. Like she's a member of the Four Horsewomen. She's as decorated as any woman you have on the roster. And if you need a challenger at WrestleMania, yeah, let's make it Bayley. And the program's going to be great, and the match is going to be awesome, and all those different things. So I'd go Bianca, Alexa, Bayley, probably Roxanne Perez, just because I'd be curious to see how they did it. Naomi, then Liv Morgan. I'm not interested in another Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley match, and I don't want to see that at WrestleMania.
No, I think we're done with Judgment Day against any combination of Priest and Rhea Ripley. But I think you might be onto something with Bayley, partner, because Bayley's been out there a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. She's been out there from NXT to the All-Star Game festivities to, you know, again, NXT again, being on shows. So she's had quite the work schedule. There's a reason why they keep rolling her out there. And she's not doing like Miz stuff, where she's just doing the radio and the TV jazz hands.
Yeah.
She's working.
Yeah, then she goes out and then has a match on SmackDown on Friday nights.
Yeah, man.
Like, she's doing everything. So, like, again, I wouldn't necessarily see Bayley coming, but if they did it, I wouldn't be upset.
You know, that's a solid match. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the safety. She's the safety school of options here. Like, okay, it's a good fallback. It's a good fallback option. We move on to number two this week in the three counts, as NXT had a big debut a couple of weeks ago and then had the official contract signing of Ricky, now going by Saints. Ricky Saints. Instead of Ricky Starks, it is Ricky Saints over at NXT. Where does NXT rank on your must-watch shows each and every week?
Well, sir, I don't know why you're asking that question. You know my list. You know my list. But for our new listeners and viewers, let's go through it. Let's see if ours match.
Okay.
So it starts off first because of the novelty of wrestling being on Netflix with Raw.
Yep. Yep.
It's the flagship, right? And so I love the idea that I can watch my Monday night show in about 225. Let me shade under 230 now every Monday. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
look
nice.
Look at the clock, like, 9:30. Well, good night, hon. It's time to go to bed. Well, you and I got a morning show. So Raw, I have Dynamite second.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamite because it's the flagship show for AEW. And again, as we just mentioned, Dynamite is getting better. Raw, by the way, has always been solid under Triple H for the most part. The great combination of promos and wrestling. So Raw, Dynamite 2. And now 3 is interesting. You know, I think the three of us have said on the show that SmackDown going 3 hours is a no-go on a Friday night, brother.
That is not DVR-able. Great.
Nope.
It's not great.
Nope. And there's a man here that loved his Rampage. Folks, that watched his Friday Night Rampage after Friday Night Light.
Good. Nothing was better. Go home. Yeah. Crack open a cold one. Have a Steve Weiser. Watch some Rampage. I use the perfect hour length. Yeah. Hell yeah. I miss Mark Henry telling me it's time for the main event.
I think I might be switching Collision and putting in the 3 slot and
really
four. Yeah. You know, Collision's been good. Collision. I've been Carbondale. I'm there at Southern Illinois, and we're playing the UIC Flames are playing Southern Illinois. It was a day game, and I'm not leaving until Sunday morning on the train. Choo-choo on the Amtrak. You think this brother's driving 6.5 hours to Chicago from the bottom of this state? Absolutely not. So I got on the old choo-choo, the old Amtrak. But on Saturday night, players are back in. They're sad because we lost the game. And I'm just like, yeah, Collision's on. I never watch Collision live. Let's turn it on. What a Collision it was. Holy smokes. That Collision was amazing. I'm talking about from tip to tail. That was a great Collision. I'm like, what? My God. You got a bleeding Mark Briscoe against Kyle Fletcher. You've got great promos and all that stuff. And I was like, you know, it was a really solid Collision. But SmackDown's 3 hours and Collision's two. And I'm like, I'm starting to think I'm putting Collision three and SmackDown four lately.
Yeah, I still have SmackDown as three for me. I mean, it is where the WWE champion resides. So, you know, the fact that Cody Rhodes is on that show, the fact that, you know, you've got some interesting things brewing with, I don't even think they're calling them the Bloodline, the new Bloodline that's not the Bloodline anymore with Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. Like, there are some good things there, but again, the 3 hours just kind of, just it's an overbloated show.
It's so funny because you and I appreciate a good Joe Tess quality broadcast.
Oh, yeah. So good.
It's still produced well. It's just... It doesn't mean it's bad. It's 3 hours. It's such a slog.
Just too much. It's too much. Which is what, like, once they go back to 2 hours at some point this spring and summer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're jamming through. Like, I feel Raw's figured it out. Like, Raw's not going the full 3 hours. Like you said, it's 2:22. Maybe if it's a longer show, it goes to 2.5. But that's kind of when you start hitting that exhaustion point of, all right, 2.5 hours. All right. And SmackDown just being 3 hours is tough. So in terms of the question, like, NXT comes in at five for me. Like, if I get to it, I get to it. If I don't, I don't.
Oh, my list is longer because after this Collision with SmackDown, then there's TNA.
Yeah. See, I don't have access. I don't have the channel in which TNA currently resides.
Folks, I just want everyone to know that Gabe could get it, but it's a punishment. It's a rib on me because I got to be the one covering TNA on this show. So TNA is – I wrote down here TNA slash other.
Okay.
Number five.
Every once in a while you throw on NWA Power.
No. You won't make me watch that. That is the shits. I'm not watching that anymore. No, sir.
God, remember when that was good? Like, do you remember when Power first, like, hit YouTube?
Yes.
Like, for me, it was like it was almost like above. I mean, Raw was, you want to talk about being down in the dumps. Like, Raw was down in the dumps. Like, I looked forward to, like, the first time, like, Power was actually a thing on YouTube. And I couldn't tell you the last time I watched it now.
The 10 Pounds of Gold series, all that.
With Nick Aldis and, so good.
So good. But no, I can't watch that. It's bad. It's bad. And so it's so funny because casually, we're Good Karma Wrestling. Let's just have the lead from Smashing Pumpkins on, who's the NWA champion. Yeah. Just come on in, Billy. It's the lead of Smashing Pumpkins. It's fine. NXT 6th. And that's a Clips show. We talk about this all the time, Gabe. We have a wrestling bandwidth. We can't watch everything. As much as it would be cool for the company to let us do this full time, you know, like a busted open type or just like one of these shows, we don't do this full time. So we can't just dedicate everything every night to wrestling. We would be divorced. We would not be kicked out.
I enjoy being married to my wife, and I would prefer to keep it that way, Jay Hood. That's just me personally. You know, miles may vary for everybody else, but that's me personally.
NXT is the show where you look through your timeline and go, oh, that's cool. Obafemi against Moose. Okay, let's go back to that promo. Ricky Saints is here. Okay, let's take a look. And if there's a match, we'll hear about it. We can go and find it. But as far as 2 hours dedicated on a Tuesday, can't do it. Can't do it. It's not as high as the Black and Gold brand, but it's good. I'm sure.
Yeah, it's good. And being on CW is still giving them really good exposure.
Sure.
Like it's still continuing to grow. And I think that's a good thing for them as they try to figure out, because the one thing they still haven't been able to cleanly figure out is, okay, this person's really over at NXT. How do we get him over on the main roster? and they haven't, there hasn't been a lot of really smooth transitions. I thought Carmelo Hayes had a really good opportunity to be one. He was literally the number one, one of the number one picks when they did the draft last. And he's just kind of, he's there on SmackDown. He's taking, at least he's on TV. He's taking L's every week, but he just hasn't transitioned from being the super over guy in NXT to what I think he can be on the main roster yet.
Yeah. I don't know why he keeps losing matches. I mean, he hasn't even got out of the starting blocks yet. He's won some matches here and there, but it's so few and far in between. Is he on his way on the outs like AOP and Ellering?
I can't imagine, because and whenever they finalize the WrestleMania card, I am going to do I thought about this week. I'm going to do a deep dive into the ages of some of these performers, because WWE ain't young. It's not a young company. It's not. And even like Ricky, the artist formerly known as Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
Like, he's in his mid 30s. He's not like this. Yeah, he's not like this hot up and coming guy. He's been around a while. Same thing with Ethan Page. Like, it's not like these guys are, you know, I mean, at least Tiffany Stratton's in her 20s, right? Yeah. Like, she's a hot up and coming young star, and she's still in her 20s. And when you take a look at basically everybody who's in the Elimination Chamber, I mean, other than Logan Paul, everybody's like 36 or over.
One thing for sure, Triple H learned from the old man with that. Go with the veterans that you know. And just keep riding them till the wheels fall off. And I just think that it should be a blender of talent in that regard.
And I think they need to start blending more of that talent in. And again, some of it exists in NXT, others don't, because Ethan Page isn't a young gun, nor is Ricky Starks, who they just brought in. So I'm going to be curious to see what that final WrestleMania card looks like. And I'm going to do some comparing and some contrasting in terms of what the age looks like, because they don't have these young studs, and they need to do a better job, I think, of incorporating guys like Carmelo Hayes to the main roster. And it just seemed, honestly, what it feels like to me, Jay Hood, for Hayes, he had a botch in his match against Cody. Like, they did this big thing right away when he got called up, you know, him versus Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And obviously Cody was going to win that match, but there's a way to do that match where both guys come out looking really good. And Hayes had a botch, and I feel like he still hasn't recovered from it.
That's too bad, man. Listen, you just can't keep rolling out the veterans. You got to have young people. As much as I would love to have Gene and Ole Anderson in my tag team ranking, you just can't anymore because they're too old. You can't have Ole and Gene Anderson in the ring. T-shirt just came in a couple days ago, by the way.
Wow, another fresh good. I like it.
Nothing like an Ole and Gene Anderson. Why did I get that? Impulse buy.
So yeah, I think NXT, I'm with you. It's a clip show for me. I saw the promo from Ricky Saints online, saw the, you know, with Moose showing up from TNA.
Yeah.
You know, Fandango showing up from TNA a couple of weeks ago. You know, again, it's fun stuff, but it's, I think they need, the one thing with NXT that WWE needs to do a better job of figuring out, like, this is a huge spot for Roxanne Perez. Right? Like, because it's the same thing on the women's side, because when Zoe Stark first came up, like, she was in that huge storyline with the man Becky Lynch, and she's in there with Tiffany with Trish Stratus. And wow. Then she kind of disappeared. Right? Yeah. Just couldn't make that stick. So this is a huge spot, I think, for Roxanne Perez. What can you do to potentially get her over with the main roster crowd?
I saw her this week, and I just kind of like, okay, you're really new, and yes, you can wrestle, but I don't see a lot of personality yet. It's Laya Valkyria, the same thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice Ravens wings, but it's like, well, let's see the rest. So I just think it's more than just the wrestling. It's the personality, too. It's got to hook me like anything else in wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm. What's the connection point?
And yeah.
That's where, again, they do a great job of getting over NXT, but they've really struggled once they've gotten to that next level. Number three this week. Whew. I don't want to talk about this one because I feel like I'm going to say something I'm going to regret.
You're going to get aggregated, whatever it is. So,
well, so HBK apparently has come out. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, who is, I think, literally one of everybody's favorites. Like, he was the showstopper. He was the workhorse of WWE in the 90s and then into the 2000s. HBK says he's got one or two matches left in him. Jay Hood, who do you want to see him face?
Okay, so this is how we say it. Sean, you don't have to get back in the ring again. You've shown us everything. You've given your whole life to professional wrestling. You don't need to get back in the ring. We remember last time you were in the ring in that tag team match with Triple H and Kane and The Undertaker, and that wasn't great, and you showed your age, and you showed everything else that I'm sure you didn't want to see, want everyone else to see. I would just say, Gabe, that, okay, I don't want to see him to wrestle anybody, but this is why John Cena's back. You want to do Cena, Triple H? I'm sorry, Cena HBK? Go right ahead. Or maybe Shawn Michaels gets his win back against Hogan from SummerSlam.
No, thank you. Hard pass. The hardest of passes there. Are there dream matches I've thought about in my head for HBK? Like HBK versus AJ Styles. That would have been something I would have wanted to see 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean, buddy, I love you. I don't think you have any matches left in you. I think we already saw that. You took a lot of time off. You tried to do the tag match. It was a tag match, and things just did not go smoothly. And maybe the problem was it was four old guys, and there wasn't somebody who could carry the load the way that, even somebody like Logan Paul could carry the load now, right?
Yeah.
And I think AJ Styles could carry him to a really good match. I just don't know if I want to see that at this point. I can understand him having the itch, because for the longest time, it looked like he was going to be the one guy that actually stayed retired. He was going to be the one guy that didn't come back for one match. And the money was too much to say no to when they did the Saudi match. And he said yes, and he ends up doing the thing. Which is fine. That's your prerogative. That's great. But we saw what happened. And you taking a bunch of time off and then trying to have another match, it just doesn't... I don't want to see it. Like, for the same reasons I don't want to see Ric Flair wrestle again, for the same reason... No, it's okay to be retired. And I can understand wanting to atone for that one match that you came out of retirement for. But to me, it's just too risky, because it's more likely than not that he ends up having another bad match. And that just really kind of tarnishes the image and legacy that we think of when we think of HBK Shawn Michaels.
There is no reason for Shawn to go back into the ring. There is no reason. He says he might have one or two matches left. And here's the thing, the difference between, say, 5 years ago and now, Vince would try to convince Shawn to come back into the ring.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Triple H would convince his friend to get back in the ring. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. See, Vince would, he relishes the old timers because he knows that they can perform, put him on WrestleMania, put him on a PLE. That's why I just kept going to the bullpen, getting the Undertaker all the time. I don't think that Triple H would be asking Shawn, hey, man, I need you. It'd be Shawn wanting to get into the ring again. And I just think that that should be flushed out of him. After all this time, he is a leader at NXT. He doesn't have to show anybody anything. When people want to see Shawn Michaels, just fire up the WWE Network. You can see his best. Because what we're going to see, Gabe, is not his best. If it's Goldberg, if it's John Cena, if it's Hogan, whatever it is, we won't see his best. We'll just see some kind of just old Shawn Michaels, and I think that that would ruin his legacy for me.
And the problem is, when you compare him versus somebody like we just saw wrestle a couple of years ago, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Stone Cold was more of a brawling type of wrestler anyway. And you can hide Stone Cold in what they ended up doing, right? In just a street fight type of match with Kevin Owens. You can do that with different gimmicks and Shawn Michaels was such a gifted performer in ring. Mm-hmm. One of the best ever to be a performer in the ring and the stories he could tell. And again, he was the showstopper. He was the show stealer, Mr. WrestleMania.
That's right.
And when you have that type of level of expectation, it's tough to live and get back to that level when you haven't done it for, what year was that god-awful DX versus Brothers of Destruction match? I don't even know. I've tried to erase the whole thing from my memory, right? It's just so bad. So I don't need to see that again. It's so hard for you to try to live up to what you were in the ring because you have so many more physical limitations now. And even if he were to do a brawling type of match the way that KO and Stone Cold did, like, that wouldn't be satisfactory either. Like, because, okay, HBK is going to be back. There's a certain level of expectation that comes with that, that he just can't live up to anymore. It just doesn't exist anymore.
So I the answer is zero. Zero. I don't want to see him take on anybody, but
no,
I feel like it's going to be a veteran. He does. And the other thing too, in this era, he doesn't have to put a young guy over.
No,
like, Logan Paul's already over. Like, it's not necessary. In that situation, as a veteran, like Cena is in right now, he's there to be able to put over young talent or whoever's going to be next. Unlike Jericho putting over Fandango, and that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, but he doesn't have to do that. But think about, I don't know that I kind of know the NXT roster. I don't see anybody in NXT where it's like, yeah, you know what? I need to take on this NXT superstar to push him into Raw or SmackDown. I don't see that. So yeah. I don't know.
Again, I would want, if it has to happen, I think AJ Styles is the only one I want to see, because I want somebody in there that I can trust that's going to be able to at least get us a decent enough match that it's worth it.
And AJ goes over?
Yeah. Okay. He kind of has to, right?
No. Did you not see The Undertaker's last match?
Yeah, but that was at least, I mean, that was a cinematic match.
Yes.
Like, that's, and it's The Undertaker. Like, that was fantastic.
Yeah, it should have been the AJ Styles winning that match.
Yeah.
But see, but that, so no, I think that, I think your booking mind is proper. I just don't know how that works with Triple H running the roost. He's the one running. It's like, Sean, your last match, you're going over Vinci.
But he's not even there anymore.
Yes.
Right. Get rid of Vinci.
How about that with Vinci, by the way? How about that? Here's something that's going to be great. Kind of a Dubai setting, right? It's not quite Million Dollar Man. It's not quite JBL, but a Dubai setting. You're a jet setter. You're Vinci. You've got the expensive clothes, and you look great, and you've got the watch and everything else, right? And you got the smile. Vinci. Watch him. He's coming. Vinci. First night out, he loses against Apollo Crews. They bring him out a second time, loses against Apollo Crews, and then cut.
And now he no longer works with the company.
Isn't that something? So that's amazing.
We move on to some news and notes this week, beginning with, just talking about NXT, the Hardys are going to be on NXT back on WWE televisions. They were called out. They were challenged this last week, and they said they are showing up next week on the CW. Your thoughts on the Hardy Boys reappearing on WWE television?
It's an on-ramp for them to get to WWE Hall of Fame at some point. They wanted them to be in it, but again, there was no relationship between TNA and WWE. Now that there is, I think you find them in the WWE Hall of Fame in very short order. It's fine. Nostalgia act. They still, every time that those two come up, as soon as you hear the first chord of that music, the people are on their feet. Love it. So for them to be back in the WWE on NXT, on that NXT level, that's the best thing. Raw, yeah. SmackDown, probably not.
Meanwhile, Triple H has announced that WWID, their developmental program where they're trying to identify the best prospects out there, are going to have championship titles that are going to be defended on independent promotions once a tournament is established to determine the first ever WWEID champions.
Why? Why do you do that? Why? I mean, why don't you just wrestle under the program, and then you know what your championship is? A fresh contract on NXT.
On NXT, yep.
Yes.
That's the way they've decided to do it. My guess is it's a way, I mean, to help. I don't know. Like, if the WWE ID champion is wrestling on your indie show, is that helping you draw people in?
It certainly keeps your name out there.
Yeah.
That's one way to keep your name out there. Like, hey, here's a WWE ID champion. So they have identified you as the next big thing. Of course, anytime that you take to the ring, you believe you're the next big thing, or you are the thing, right? When I step into the ring, Gabe Neitzel, I'm the man. The WWE ID Championship says, well, at some point you'll be the man. So here's the title.
Yeah, it's strange, but I am curious to see how they end up executing this in actual practice. And if it actually does help these indie promotions, you know, like, oh, I know that guy. He's WWE. We'll see.
He's going to be a Turner Hall in Milwaukee, brother. He's going to be defending it.
Oh, the ID champion.
It's going to be a Turner Hall.
We get a good show at Turner Hall. I'm there. And I will be there. Penta has revealed that apparently he's been wrestling with a torn bicep for the last 3 years.
So you had some time off in AEW. Didn't get that thing fixed?
Yeah, it's been a while since he was. Yeah, he had a nice big break. Apparently didn't want to, delay his WWE debut any more than he had to.
I mean, while you had time off, while you're off of TV, fix it. And, you know, or be on the mend. Okay. That means he's still dealing with it, correct?
That's the way I interpreted it, yes.
Okay. I just think that you get an injury. Well, maybe it's this, Gabe. Maybe I think this makes sense. If I tell AEW that I have an injury, they'll tack on more time here in this quote-unquote prison.
Yeah.
Like my brother. So maybe that's the case. Like, I'm not going to tell them, because if I tell them that I'm hurt, then that means that the time I have off because I'm mending from this injury and getting better, they'll tack on more time for me to stay and not wrestle.
And finally, news and notes. It was announced last night on AEW, Double or Nothing. It's going to be happening in Arizona Memorial Day weekend. Traditionally, Double or Nothing has always taken place in Las Vegas.
I know Phoenix and Glendale are close. I don't know if I would have had the show, a show on Wednesday night in Phoenix at the theater and then be in Glendale a few months later. Old school booking would have done that. Hey, we're going to have a great show in Greensboro. I'm going to be in Charlotte in a couple of months. Let me get your tickets. It'll be successful. It'll be fine. But as you mentioned, they could not do it in Vegas because WrestleMania is there. So they move it to Glendale. I'll tell you what, if that Phoenix crowd of 3,000 at theater is going to be part of the Glendale crowd, that'll be amazing. Unusual venue. Because I know, Gabe, I know how your mind works because it works like my mind. You go to a theater and you go to a venue and you go, I wonder if you could put wrestling in here. You're rocking out in this concert, right? You know what you're there for, right? It's like, I wonder if you put a ring in here.
I think you put a ring in here.
So
that's what it is. It's not even I wonder. I like look around and it's, I bet you could put a ring in here.
Exactly. I think you put a ring in here. What would they put
it up?
All right. Yes, hon. Yes. Going to a comedy show, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, if you think about wrestling, what are you thinking about? Nothing.
Nothing. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
3,000 people in that place in Phoenix. Great hot crowd. Again, unusual circumstances. Weird camera angles because you couldn't really get see MJF. Really couldn't see Hangman because they were trying to find an angle there. But as far as the crowd was concerned, it was great.
What did you have for your matches of the week?
Big Bill versus Hobbs.
Oh, my God. That was so good last night. You want to talk about the crowd being into something. Like, that match was spectacular yesterday.
Exactly what you want. Exactly what you want. And here's the thing. I'm watching that match, Gabe, and I didn't know who to root for because I was rooting for both of them. I was rooting for both of them.
Well, I think I landed on rooting for Hobbs just because, I guess maybe it's not Big Bill's fault, but he's associated with Jericho, right? Mm-hmm. So I just want the learning tree to go away. And plus, like, Hobbs never gets wins on TV. So to get a big win like that, and I don't know, I kind of like the fact that, like, it still made Big Bill look strong because it's not like he necessarily stayed down for the 10 count. He's like got trapped in the barbed wire. Like he couldn't get his arm out of the barbed wire to get to his feet to beat the standing 10 count. So I thought that was a lot of fun.
I was happy for both of them. If we want to go to Grand Slam, I just thought that Tony Storm and Mariah May was the best match we saw on the card. Mm-hmm. And they're telling the best story in the company. You would love to think it's the World Heavyweight Champion and Moxley, but it's not. It's Tony Storm and Mariah May, and I feel like there's going to be a rematch here pretty soon with Tony Storm and Mariah May, so that was great. I thought the way they started off the card was great with Fletcher and Takeshita against Omega and Ospreay. One thing I probably would have done, just nitpicking, you're coming off All-Star Saturday, Gabe. The first thing I should see is Ospreay. That's the first thing. Let me see the baby faces first. Because I've watched wrestling in 10 years. What's on? Okay, you bring the heels out first. And they're getting booed. So I probably would have done, just a nitpick, I probably would have started with Ospreay, one of the biggest guys in the company.
Well, especially because like his music also, like the way it kind of starts, and if he got that pop, that's how I think you could have really gotten a good engaging crowd to stick around. But by all accounts, it looks like they did get a pretty decent crowd to stick around after All-Star Saturday night.
Yes.
Pete Dunne versus Penta was really good on Raw as well. So I would throw that one out there as my third.
Pete Dunne, he's going to win anytime soon? Or
Nope.
All right, we're done with that. All right.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I mean, unless you got something for him to win anytime soon, maybe he can win one of those WWE ID titles.
That's just so bad. How dare you do that to Butch?
What?
How dare you?
What?
How dare you do that to Butch? I think that's, you know, there were some SmackDown matches here or there, but I just think that Grand Slam took it. I thought that Dynamite and also Raw had some really good matches on that on their cards. Yeah. So,
if you happen to catch us a little bit later in the show, you can always go back to our YouTube page, check out the entire show, a bunch of past interviews we've done there as well. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Comment, subscribe, check us out on YouTube. We're building towards it. A week away from the Elimination PLE. 2 weeks away from the Elimination Chamber PLE, I should say. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks away from Revolution in AEW. We're going to talk about it all next week right here on GKW.